the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is the that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin.
Yeah, they want to control what you think, and I'm not gonna let them do that. I'm Michelle Morin, here to tell you what big media won't. That's what we've been doing for the past hour and a half. I don't know how long we've been here.
We've been here for a while, but it's okay.
We've been here a while.
We need to let you know what big media won't.
All right. And we spent the last three segments talking about the Florida massacre and trying to unearth what's really going on in Broward County. We're going to keep coming back to that as necessary. Tim from Florida had not even heard what you and I brought to the table today, Jason.
I had not heard about it until you mentioned it.
That's my job.
No, but it shouldn't be your job for this specific case because everyone needs to know that.
I know.
Everyone does.
I could make millions if I was big media, right?
No, you couldn't. You need to be a leftist and terrible and hate guns and all that.
Okay.
So, yeah, they wouldn't let you in the club. Sorry.
You're right. They wouldn't. I'm telling too much they don't talk about. Okay. So there's so much more about the Florida massacre I really wanted to cover. But for the sake of time, I want to go into the other topics. And I'm trying to figure out what to call them. Bullet points, what we missed, highlights.
Yeah, beneath the fold.
Beneath the fold. They're just some things that I want you to be aware of. Because, again, big media's not telling you. Here's one that's funny, disturbing, racist. Not supposed to be racist.
It's the most racist if it's the story you're talking about.
It is very racist. It has to do with milk.
And we had a story, I believe last year, about how milk is racist.
Yes, we did. You did remember that. And
this is the opposite end of that.
The story unfolds.
Oh.
So this is one of those cases where I get really embarrassed to be human. I really do. I just think
you're embarrassed to be human. I'm embarrassed to be a man because of this guy.
Illinois governor, what is this guy's name? Bruce Rauner. He was at the Chicago Thompson Center to discuss workplace diversity at a Black History Month event.
Oh.
You can tell where this is going. It's not good. And he was on stage, and he was on stage with this Studemeyer, Tyrone Studemeyer. He is the Hyatt Hotels Diversity and Inclusion Executive.
Before you go any further, this mayor is a white male, correct?
The governor. He is a
white
male. He's an older white male.
Okay.
You know, media, big media always points out race, and we don't because I don't think along those lines.
Yeah.
But you're reminding me that this is the narrative that we have to catch up to, isn't it?
Yes.
So yes, So he's at this Black History Month event, and this is embarrassing. So the governor had this glass. Studemeyer poured a glass of white milk. Studemeyer poured a glass of milk to represent the white men who lead most organizations. All right, this is getting creepy. Studemeyer said, "This chocolate syrup represents diversity." So he squirted a dash of chocolate syrup into the white milk. Jason can't keep himself together. And you know what happens when you put a heavy substance in a liquid? The syrup went to the bottom of the glass. Studemeyer says, "When you look at most organizations, diversity sits at the bottom of the organization. You don't get inclusion until you actually stir it up." So the governor stirred the syrup into the milk, turned it brown. I can't even believe I'm saying this. And then took a sip. And he said, "It's really, really good. Diversity." Studemeyer said, "Diversity is the mix, and inclusion is making the mix work."
I would kill.
Jason's about to fall out of his chair.
To be in that meeting.
I know.
He had a meeting with people around him, and he said, "You know what, we're going to do this." And not a single person looked at him and said, "Are you crazy? What are you doing?
Are you crazy?" To me, the whole thing's racist. Oh, you're
really?
You're drinking it?
He says, "It's really good." No, he needs a no man next to him that says, "No, that's not a good idea."
Yes, he does.
Don't do that.
Yeah. All right.
And a Black history. Oh.
Yeah, it's bad.
No.
It's bad. This is what we've come to. That's why I said this guy embarrasses me.
And he probably had the biggest grin afterwards, like he did the best job ever.
He's pretty proud of it, I'm sure. This was a great word picture.
Oh,
object Lord. Lesson.
And every person in that crowd, Black, white, whatever, they were just looked at him like, "Oh, are you serious?"
I would have loved to have been there. You're right.
Oh.
Okay, so on to other topics. That was too good not to share. Let's talk about Obamacare.
Obamacare is gone. We don't have to talk about it anymore, right? It's just disappeared.
No, it's still
breathing. Trump got rid of it.
It's just resting. Oh. It's resting to come back another day.
Dang it.
So we're all so happy because, I don't know if folks believe it's dead, but it's because it's not.
Well, everyone told me it was dead. The tax bill killed it. It's
That's
gone, right?
That's right. It didn't. The tax bill just eliminated the mandate for this tax bill. And the tax bill's up for change again in 7 years.
No.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to. Democrats don't have to wait for that. But remember, the key point is the GOP's in power. The GOP's in control.
Well, and they quote, unquote, power.
Yeah. They were supposed to repeal it. So I have. This is just my thing is just Obamacare. It's going to kill people. And I have a perfect example. And it's I shouldn't even say perfect. That's a harsh way to introduce this story. It's a horrifying example that perfectly illustrates the evil and sinister nature of Obamacare. And we're going to use the British healthcare system as the example. This is from the Washington Post. There's a British dad who's been prohibited from visiting his toddler who's in the hospital. His toddler was born severely brain damaged and has spent the first year of his life in intensive care on life support. And the healthcare system has decided that they're going to remove life support. Let me read from you here. The hospital has banned the father from seeing the son because there was a bitter month-long fight to keep one-year-old Isaiah Hastrup alive. The little boy suffered from severe brain injury during birth, and doctors decided that further treatment would be futile and not in his best interest. Notice doctors decided, not the parents. That's your first clue. Things are very, very wrong. His parents have been opposed to taking him off life support. This is their child. They believe that with more time and treatment, Isaiah would eventually breathe on his own. Wouldn't any parent want to have that hope that eventually their child could recover?
And I would say you have the right to have that hope.
Thank you. It's your child's life.
As a human being, yes.
Yes. Hastrup, the dad, has blamed the hospital for his son's condition and accused the medical team of racism and of deliberately harming Isaiah. And because of his stand, he has been banned from the hospital. The father's been banned from the hospital, so he cannot see his son. And in January, there was a judge in the family division who sided with the hospital and ruled that doctors can remove baby Isaiah from life support. The father and the mother took their legal battle to an appeals court. They lost. And a judge said, if kept alive, he will continue to suffer from profound cognitive impairment, extremely severe global motor disability with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. And that situation will not change. Within this context, Isaiah is not now, nor will he ever be able to engage in any meaningful interaction with the world around him. So let's just pull the plug.
That opens up a whole can of worms, because they're saying that he won't have a meaningful life, so they're gonna let him die.
Yes.
So what are they can define that as anything. If you have a sickness, you're not gonna have a meaningful life. You have some disease, we're just gonna let you die.
And this is the core of my hatred for Obamacare. This is where it inevitably goes. This is where it's gonna go. Period. It you cannot stop this from happening. The judge says, it is my hope that in due course, the parents will be able to derive some small measure of comfort from the knowledge that they've done all they can for their much loved and a cherished son to seek an alternative outcome for Isaiah.
Mm.
So they've pulled his life support, and because the dad became emotional trying to defend his son's life, they've banned him from seeing him while the little boy dies. That's living hell.
Yeah.
And that's what nationalized healthcare does. This is going on right now in Britain, and my heart just breaks for this family and the little boy. This is why I hate Obamacare. This is where it goes. This is where it goes. Lives are lost, and they don't have to be. And big government makes decisions about whose life is meaningful and whose isn't.
Yeah. Do you want a government to tell you, sorry, you're not that valuable. We can't spend the money on you. Sorry.
I may have to resurrect my fight against Obamacare. Because this is just too close to home. Anyone who has a child and listens to this and reads this and will actually let it touch them, they know this is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that depression. Let's go to another depressing topic.
We should just call this segment the depressing segment.
North Korea. Remember the cheerleaders that were the North Korean cheerleaders that went to the Olympics?
Oh, that CNN was fawning all over because they had the masks or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Turns out Bloomberg did an article on North Korean defectors, and they are telling the stories of what really goes on. And there's a gal, her name's Lee So-yeon, she's 42. She's a former military musician who fled North Korea in 2008. She now heads the New Korea Women's Union that helps female defectors adjust to life in South Korea and provides treatment for the women suffering from PTSD. Here's what she says about those cheerleaders. She says, quote, North Korea's art troupe came here and performed with dances and songs, and it might seem like a fancy show on the outside. However, they also have to go to parties and provide sexual services. That sort of pain also follows. They go to the Central Politburo parties events and have to sleep with the people there, even if they don't want it. Those sorts of human rights infringements take place where women have to follow what they are told to do with their bodies. Where are the feminists on this little article? Where are they? Why aren't the American feminists just screaming about what's happening to these North Korean cheerleaders? Why?
Well, you have to wait 30 years, and then you have to bring it up. That's the key.
Parade, and if you remember, we talked about them. They were selected as some of the most beautiful women from North Korea when we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's sick. Yeah. There are two other defectors who are quoted here. Kim Hyung-soo, he's 54. His son, he defected in 2009 with his son, who was a skier, who competed in the North Korean National League. He says this, in one word, athletes are Kim Jong-un's sports slaves. Even the coaches are slaves to Kim Jong-un and to the North Korean regime. Because in North Korea, Kim Jong-un and the regime is the entire world. The athletes and the cheerleaders, too. They are all Kim Jong-un and North Korea's slaves. The cheerleaders, too. They select people who are unlikely to defect and people with loyal backgrounds. This factor is crucial from a very early stage. All right, and one more. Kim Jong-bong, 61 years old. He's a former South Korean spy and head of the National Security Council. Here's what he says about the North Korean athletes who go back to Pyongyang. When the athletes go back to Pyongyang, they will be shown the best buildings around town in North Korea. For some, they might not have had the opportunity to see great facilities or eat good food. So North Korea tries to show its athletes all these great things. North Korea makes an effort to plant an idea in their head that everything that they saw in South Korea wasn't that wonderful. And then they are sent to a political school or a political education system from 1 to 3 months for what they call moral education.
Oh, moral education. Okay.
So there you have it. There's the reality. So all of the fawning, as you said, Jason, over North Korea, it's just a joke. Here's another story real quick. I think we're going to have to go to a break here. In the LGBT movement, we've got this transgender high school wrestler. Her name, it's a woman. It's a girl who's taking steroids to become a guy.
She was born a woman. She's trying to transition into a man.
Yes.
Is she taking steroids or testosterone? She's taking hormones to become a
woman. Something to transition. Well, she was not allowed. She's a wrestler. She's a wrestler, and I'm rolling my eyes because, as you said, Jason, where should she be competing if she's taking male hormones?
With the boys.
If she wants to be a boy? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't she be out there with the boys?
Competing with the boys.
Yeah.
If you're going to be juiced up like that? Yes.
Juiced up. Yeah. Exactly. And well, she joined the female wrestling team, and opponents actually sued the school claiming that the testosterone gave her an unfair advantage. Hello.
Yeah.
And it's illegal. It's illegal to take hormones for competitions anyway.
Yes.
But oh no, we're going to make an exception because this.
We don't want to discriminate.
No. Well, she won the state title.
That's a hollow victory. I might as well go face off against these high schoolers. I mean, seriously.
I know. Well, she got booed.
Yes, she should.
She should have. She should have been booed. The whole school should have been booed. That's just, as Tim was saying, age of aberrance?
I think
aberration.
So. Aberration.
Aberration. This is the age of aberration. It's crazy.
Seriously.
Yeah, and that's not. We're not even talking about the boxers. Yeah.
All of this makes me feel like I could be an Olympian. I'll just go compete with the women.
Isn't that funny?
That's insane.
This gives men an advantage. This whole movement. And feminists don't even see that.
No, of course. We're empowering the LGBTQ transition.
Right. So, all right. I have a letter here from the Jefferson County, Colorado superintendent. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to point something out. All politics is local, as we were talking in the first three segments with Tim. This is in response to the Florida massacre. He wrote this letter on February 19th, and I just going to quote you some things. It's a three-page letter, and he's giving it's titled A Solution for America's School Shooting Crisis. It's a school massacre crisis. Anyway, he said, he's talking about responses. He said, from one side, we get calls for greater gun regulation, limiting who has access to what kinds of firearms and placing limitations on the Second Amendment. From the other side, we get calls to give guns to educators, turning our teachers into armed guards. While we get a great deal of hot air and intense debate, neither of these solutions gets traction. He says, I'm going to avoid critiquing or passing judgment on these two commonly proposed solutions because they are irrelevant. A solution is only a solution if we can actually enact it. We are not able to get either of these solutions passed into law, so they have no impact. Not true.
Mm.
In Colorado, school boards can vote to allow teachers to conceal carry.
In Colorado, there are some schools
that. They already are. Yes. So, my friends, all politics is local. Know what's going on. If you're in Jefferson County, contact the superintendent and tell him no.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. We are going to take a break and come back. And Jason and I are going to start our new weekly segment on, we haven't titled it yet. It's tempting to call it the Me Too thing.
It has to do with Me Too.
We'll talk about that when we come back here on The Michelle Morin Show.